Good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to find the power of God's Word to the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here's your host, Glenda Linkus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and today we are going to be talking about the times when the Lord asks you to lay something down for Him. Sometimes it is a habit. Sometimes it's a sin. Sometimes it's a relationship. It can be a number of different things. And we're going to start out, not surprisingly, with the story of Abraham and Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and get you into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. In other words, go and into the land of Moriah and I'll tell you which mountain when you get there. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and split the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. So this was to tempt Abraham. Now, Abraham lived in a land where it was not uncommon for people to sacrifice their children to various gods. So you have to wonder if he was thinking, wow, he knows that God doesn't usually approve that. So he has to be wondering what's going on. And this was not a test to produce faith in Abraham. It was a test to reveal where his faith was. God had told Abraham to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. Now, this is not, they don't put the children in there and just burn them alive. What they do is they sacrifice them and then the offering or the person is completely burnt as the burnt offering. Abraham had to be thinking, you know, would God really require him to look into the eyes of his son that he loved so much as he killed him to watch him die? Notice that Abraham rose up early in the morning and he cut the wood for the sacrifice. So he went not only obediently, but immediately, and he went prepared. So he didn't debate. He didn't ask anybody else what they thought about it. He trusted God, and you know he didn't feel like doing that right then. He was walking by faith, not by sight, and not, most importantly, also by emotion. It is so easy, you know, living in the world to get caught up with following your feelings around. I have heard so many people say, well, you know, I fell in love with him, so it must be the will of God. No, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean, but just because you fell in love with somebody, just because it feels good does not mean that it's God, okay? Now, y'all hear me on this. This is really important. Just because Abraham didn't feel like going to the mountain, didn't feel like sacrificing his son Isaac, that was the furthest thing from what he felt like, but he knew he had heard God, and he knew what God said. He didn't understand what God was doing. But he trusted. He trusted in God. There are people that God will tell them to do something and they'll say, well, I'm not going to do that until he provides this, or I'm not going to do that unless he tells me what the plan is. When you say that, you are trying to make yourself God. You are saying, well, I can't do that unless he tells me what he's doing. God doesn't have to explain to us what he's doing, y'all. He doesn't. And he is not required to provide anything for us when he tells us to do something. He does provide for us. But he's not required to provide before if he tells you to go somewhere, you can't say, well, I'll go as soon as you give me, you know, $1 million or something like that. You don't get to choose that. You either obey him or you don't. It does not take faith to go somewhere when you've already got the money and everything you need to go. Can I just tell you that? When God speaks something to you, it generally is something that will require a lot of faith. If what he is telling you to do is something you already want to do, then you should question it very, very carefully, because it's usually not something you really want to do. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Abide you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. The region of Moriah that God sent Abraham to is modern-day Jerusalem. And when Abraham said, you know, "I'll go yonder and worship," this is the first use of the word worship in reference to God in the Bible. The Hebrew word, and I don't think I can say it right, but something like shakah simply means to bow down. If it's the word that I studied before, it also means to lay prostrate. But Abraham and Isaac didn't go to the mountain to worship, but they did go to bow down to the Lord and to bow down to his will. I believe that Abraham could go in full faith up to that mountain with his son Isaac, because God had already made covenant with him in Genesis 21:12. And God said to Abraham, "Let it not be grievous in your sight because of the lad," talking about Ishmael, "and because of your bondwoman, in all that Sarah has said to you, hearken to her voice, for in Isaac shall your seed be called." Okay, Isaac had not yet produced any heirs. He had not produced any children. In order for God to fulfill that covenant that he had made with Abraham, Isaac had to come of age, get married, and have children and reproduce and all that. So though Abraham might not have known exactly what the plan was or why God would ask him to take Isaac up on the mountain and sacrifice him, one thing he did know. He knew God well enough to know that God would never break a covenant with him. God would never break his own word to him. God is not a man that he can lie, and he doesn't lie. His word is absolute. It is the absolute authority in our lives, and if you ever need an answer, that is where you look for it. So he knew that if he did sacrifice Isaac, no one had ever been raised up from the dead at this point in the Bible, okay? But he knew that God was able. God, who created man, could certainly resurrect man if that was what was to be, because he had made Abraham a promise. And Abraham knew God would never, ever break a promise to him. So he could go in full faith, knowing whatever happened. And Isaac apparently went willingly also. One of the questions I get asked most often is, how can I know the will of God for my life? Most of the time when people do not know the will of God for their life, it is because in their heart they have an unwillingness to do whatever it is God wants them to do. Or they have a general unwillingness, or just a conditional, "Okay, God, I'll do that if it suits me." Unless you are willing to lay everything down, no matter what he asks for, you will never know his will. I love this part of Genesis chapter 22. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." Do you see what that verse says? And the next verse says, "And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." You are not the only one that is blessed when you obey God. Can I just tell you that? Everybody around you is going to be blessed when you obey God. Whenever you feel God leading you, sometimes it's just a leading. If you can hear him speak, he'll usually just tell you. Like he told me in 1997, I got saved in 96, and in 97, God wanted me to stop smoking cigarettes. And I was like, "Lord, I already gave up everything else." But, you know, for 2 weeks I went back and forth with him. He told me, I don't know, two or three times, I don't remember. He would just mention it or bring it up or point to it. And finally, this one night, I was fixing to go to bed, and I was taking my Bible with me, a cup of coffee, and a cigarette. And I'm sure that looked real good to God, y'all. And he said, tonight. And I was like, oh, Lord, I don't want to do it. But I did obey him. Either you obey or you don't. If you argue with him like I did, it won't help you. He's not going to change his mind. He's still going to ask you for the thing that he's asking you for, okay? And I'll tell y'all something about laying down whatever God wants you to lay down. Especially if it's a sin or it's a bad habit like smoking cigarettes. When he requires it of you, when he asks you for it or leads you to stop doing it, when you feel the conviction, the faster you do it, the stronger his anointing will be on you to help you do it, okay? The anointing is a type of ease. It makes something that would be impossible for someone else to do easy for you to do. So do it right away. Do yourself a favor and do it right away. One of the things that happens in living in the world is we get attached to things. We get attached to people and relationships and, you know, children, grandchildren, the perfect house, the perfect job, the career, you know, being status symbol, you know, whatever in your neighborhood, whatever your thing is. If you get too attached to that, it will become an idol in your heart. And our God is a very jealous God. And something I have learned about him, and I'm sure many of you also know this, is if you start to inch away from him and towards an idol, God always comes after what is his. You don't take anything away from the Lord God. He will come and get it. And something else I have learned is he will smash your idols right before your eyes. Y'all remember the story of Dagon? They put him in the temple. They put the Ark of the Covenant in the temple of Dagon when it was captured, like by the Philistines, I think, in the Old Testament. And they walked in the next day, and the statue of Dagon was down on its face, y'all. Every knee shall bow, right? Every knee. God wasn't going to share that temple with no Dagon or any other idol. Idols are not just little wooden and metal statues. Idols are anything that becomes too important to you that you can't walk away from that thing if God asks you to walk away from it, okay? It can be a relationship. It can be the Lord revealed to me very recently, several days ago, to my horror, that I had in the past idolized being married before I married Jerry. And that scared me half to death, y'all. That scared me so bad because I am really afraid of idolatry. Our God is a good God. He's like a good parent. You know, he just heaps blessings on us. And we hold out our hands like little kids going, gimme, gimme, gimme. And he gives us all these good things. And then, you know, later on, he just wants to be with us, and he wants us to put the things down and come to him. And we don't always do that. We're not always willing to, are we? If you refuse to put down your idols when God asks for them, he will come and get them. And sometimes he will destroy them. And that is extremely painful. Everything that we have, everything in your life has been given to you by God. You may think you worked for it, but God gave you the ability to work. God kept the devil from destroying you and keeping you where you couldn't work. Are you holding too tight to the gifts that God has given you? If you don't open your hands and release what he's requiring of you, he can't give you what you're asking for from him. Sometimes what we hold so tightly to are bad attitudes we've picked up along our journeys, hard-heartedness towards the Lord, towards ministries we've encountered, towards someone who has hurt us or done something wrong, or not done something we thought they should to support us. This is a word for somebody. There's a woman listening to this show. You have been so disappointed by someone you love who did not come through for you as you thought they should. I think the person might be a man that didn't come through for you. The Lord is saying to you, woman of God, arise and shine. Shake off this offense and move on. These thoughts of bitterness have invaded your mind and your soul, and you are not carrying the anointing I've placed in you, meaning it's no longer visible in your life. God didn't take it back, but nobody can see it because of all this bitterness. You risk spending the rest of your life in bitterness and fruitlessness for the Lord. Obey me now, he is saying. Repent. Often the Lord will lead us into a wilderness season to show us there's something in our life or in us that is displeasing to him. It is very wise to check our hearts often for idols that may be lurking on the throne, where only the King of Kings should be enthroned. I will never forget when I was writing The Wilderness Companion, and I think I was in about the last one-third of the book, and I was going back through years of journals through a very, very, very painful several years in my life, where I lost people that I loved and many things happened. A lot of other stuff happened that's not even in the book, y'all. That book started out being 676 pages before I cut it down to 200 and something. And I would stay up all night and write because where I lived across town was very noisy. It was on a busy street and people would, because of the incline of the street, would race their motors right in front of the house. And it was just almost impossible to record there and not have background noise. So I would stay up all night and record, and then I would sleep for a while in the daytime, and then I would get back up and go back to work. And one night, it just was so painful to write through those, you know, read through those journal entries and then write in the book. And I got to where I would write for an hour or so, and then I would sit there and I would weep, just weep. And it started happening every night. And so one night after I had worked all night, I was going to bed and I said, Lord, is there not another way to write this book? This is so painful. This hurts so bad to go back through all this and, you know, feel all this pain. And he spoke so clearly to me and he said, I can heal many through the pain of one. Are you willing? And I said, yes, Lord. You know, I found a beautiful quote online. I was looking for good quotes and things like that that I like to put out on, tweet them out on the Twitter account to encourage people. And I found a quote by an anonymous person that said, faith is not everything turning out okay. Faith is about being okay no matter how things turn out. And when you know the King of Kings, and when you understand that everything he does is ultimately going to benefit you, and it's going to benefit the kingdom of God, you get to where you're okay no matter how things turn out. Not to say they're not painful, because let me tell you, y'all, you know if you've read that book, that sometimes they are extremely painful. But that doesn't mean they're not God. I actually had somebody tell me when I was walking through part of that wilderness back in about, I don't know, 2002, somewhere around there, a Christian guy that I sat near at this one job I had, was one of the real bad jobs, and I was telling him, we were talking one day about God, and I was telling him about the wilderness, and he looked at me and he said, I just don't think that's scriptural. I thought, really? You know, the Bible clearly says Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted, and Jesus didn't have any sin. He didn't have any sin nature. He knew exactly how to answer Satan, but he was still led into the wilderness to be tempted. The way you get an anointing, the way you get a testimony, is by going through things. You don't get it just by sitting back in your easy chair and saying, oh Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. That's not the way that comes. You get it by going through things. You get it by answering God's call to step out in faith, to step out of the boat and walk on water. You get it when you obey. And you get the call to obey and the instruction to step out of the boat when you're willing to step out where no one else would step out. When you're willing to step out when there is nothing there to stand on, then God will make sure there's something there to stand on when you step out. But until you are willing, you won't ever know what His will is for your life. Faith is not about everything turning out okay. Faith is about being okay no matter how things turn out. I hope this show has been a blessing to you. Thank you for listening. Y'all have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas, 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write the Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax. Are there areas of your life where you just cannot seem to get the victory no matter what you do? Are you plagued by depression, poverty, anger outbursts, lust, or failure? Do you recognize a predisposition to commit the same sins committed by your forefathers? You could be under a generational curse or another type of curse. And without understanding, it is impossible to get free. The Bible says in Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It is important for us to get the knowledge that we need in order to get free in every area of our lives. I have compiled all the curse breaking series into one book called Loosed from Chains of Darkness, Destroying Curses Through the Power of the Cross. You can get Loosed from Chains of Darkness on Amazon.com. It lists prayers for at least 14 different curses, and there are bonus curses in there that I've not taught on before. Learn what the four types of curses are that were revealed to me and how to break each one. How to identify these curses in your lives and in the lives of those you love. Get Loose from Chains of Darkness, available at Amazon.com. Have you ever been betrayed by someone you love deeply? If you have, then you know betrayal by someone you love can be a life-altering experience. But did you know that every Christian must pass the test of absolute betrayal at least once in their walk if they want to go higher? No test hurts more or pulls more strongly on your emotions than when someone you love completely turns on you. Do you know how to pass this test? Through a revelation received from the Lord, I share in my book, The Judas Test, the good news about why betrayal visits us and how to pass this test when it comes your way. Don't let betrayal catch you by surprise. Be ready to pass the test. Read of biblical examples of various types of betrayal and learn what the scripture says about how to pass the test. The Judas Test, available on Amazon.com.